This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Before we get started with the homemade broadcast, I wanted to quickly tell you about NTT Fitness and NTTNutrition.com. Holidays are approaching rapidly. You know what that means? Goodies. Yes, you're going to be eating cakes and you're going to be eating candy and you're not going to be exercising. It's the holidays. Happy holidays. Yeah, it's the holidays and you're going to eat like crap and you're not going to exercise. That's just what happens. That's okay. You can sit at home and eat cookies and cake and stuff your face, but there's going to be repercussions to that. So why not get ahead of the curve a little bit and let NTT Nutrition deliver your food? Yeah, it's the right portion. It's the right size. It's the right caloric count. They do the macros. They do the micros. If you use code LEVELUP15 at checkout, you'll get 15% off your first order. So check them out. Give them a try. Happy holidays. Eat up, fatso. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive. Rob Parr. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCP.com. My name is William Lewis Koontz. Welcome back to the program. HMBRadio.com, 813-693-2124. Home underscore made underscore man on Instagram. Oh, no, actually, nope, still no Instagram. But Twitter, I'm still there. Facebook just stopped replying to my Instagram messages. I want my account back. We're like, okay. I don't know what I did. That's the most frustrating part of this whole thing. I'm getting used to not having an Instagram account, though. Sucks. This week on the show, we have a conversation with Johnny Bell. Anna is not available this week, so Johnny will be joining us. I co-host his show with him every weeknight from 9 to midnight on 102.5 The Bone here locally. And you can get it anywhere in the world if you just get the Bone app, or you can go to theboneonline.com and listen wherever you are in the world. So we got that. We were talking. I didn't know what to... I feel bad talking to Johnny about stuff that I care about, which is weird because like Johnny's one of my best friends. I just know that, like, I'll say stuff to him sometimes and his eyes glaze over. It's just not his bag. Like, he's a comedian. He likes to have fun. He doesn't want to think about how awful the real world really is and who are the leaders that we choose are demons from hell a lot of times. And that's what we're dealing with. And I feel bad bothering him with it because he's such a jovial guy. But I know he cares, but it's just not his bag, you know? So I wasn't really planning on talking about this stuff with him, but we're another week without knowing who the new president of the United States will be, or if President Boomer Dad gets another term through the courts. We still don't really know what's going on. So we talked a little bit about that, media malfeasance, all the stuff that I like to talk about that people think I'm a lunatic for. So yeah, we'll get to that pretty shortly. But first, I wanted to tell you about Truvy Salon and Spa. My best friends at Truvy Salon and Spa. Christmas time is coming up, so why don't you get your girlfriend or your wife or your mistress a gift card to get her hair done at TruvySalonAndSpa.com. Listen, if you got to look at that lady from behind, you might as well. She might as well have good hair, at least, right? So have Chrissy Parker and Truvy Salon and Spa do her up real good so you could do her up real good. Merry Christmas. Yeah, that's coming up real soon. But for real, Chrissy's great, and the salon is they do really good work. So that would be a good gift for your wife or girlfriend or mom, whatever, anything. Don't bang your mom, but I'm just saying, this has gone awry. TruvySalonAndSpa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Get a gift card. Merry Christmas. Without further ado, here is the conversation I had with Mr. Johnny Bell from the Johnny B Show, local stand-up comic, all-around good guy. Here we go.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
All right, on the Bluetooth through the Rodecaster, I have Mr. John Bell. You may know him better as Johnny B. He hosts the Johnny B Show with the same show that I'm on. I'm his co-host, so welcome, John.
Oh, hello, co-host. Great to talk to you today, William.
Yeah, thanks for doing this short notice. I appreciate it. Johnny actually gave me COVID-19 last week. What?
No, you gave it to me.
What?
100%.
Oh.
It's been confirmed. Yeah, through the CMG virologist team has determined that you were the AIDS monkey that gave it to everybody. You started it with me, and then I smiled at a couple of other employees, and I gave it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so on and so forth, and I believe a janitor is dead.
Dude, I really super spread that virus. I just viral shedded all over CMG. I felt so bad for a few days, but I really did my due diligence. I went, and we were covering for the morning show a couple weeks ago, and that on Wednesday, we're doing Thursday and Friday. Wednesday, I didn't feel that good. And I was actually at my day job, and I was bitching to my boss. I was like, I keep getting these little like cold things. And my theory was that because we're wiping everything down constantly, you know, you wear the mask, you put the mask down on the table, then you put it back on your face later. Whatever bugaboos are on the table, you're putting on your face. And then I said jokingly, unless I have COVID-19, and then later on that day, I go, what if I have COVID-19? What if this is the beginning of, and I have to go into the station the next day. So I was like, let me go get a test and make sure that I'm not going to be viral shedding all over the place and get everybody sick. So I did that, tested. I paid the money for the rapid test. I saw my doctor guy, and he said, no, you're negative. You're good to go. Go ahead and go to work. All right, great. And I didn't really think about it. Didn't feel that good. Definitely didn't feel like I was dying or anything, though, either. So I went to work, and then that Saturday, after we did the shows Thursday and Friday, which went very well, Saturday, lost my taste and smell, and I definitely have this thing. Sure enough, Monday, went and tested, and I had it. So that shows you, I guess, how unreliable that those tests really are.
Yeah, I like, so you said Monday you tested positive and you told me, so I was like, son of a bitch, I know he shed all in my mouth. Like, I know he did. So I went to a place closer to my house that had testing, and I should have known, like, because it just seemed too good to be true. They're like, yeah, we have a test for $59.99 that will not only tell you if you have COVID, but it'll also do an antibody test at the same time. So it's a finger prick. It's not a swab. It's not a PCR, whatever. It's just, and I'm like, I've never heard of a finger prick for COVID. I've heard of it for the antibodies. So I go into this place, and the place is dirty, right? It looks like, you know, it looks like a rundown, like in a strip mall next to a chiropractor's office. It's a tiny little place. the girl that signed me in was also the nurse and also the person administering the test. I think she was the only one that worked there. And I got it done that day. And she said, yeah, you're negative. Everything's good. And I go, okay. And I felt like crap. I started feeling like crap late Sunday night. And I was like, all right, well, this sucks. Then Tuesday, I lost my taste and smell. And I go, oh, no. So you said to me, John, get tested again. So Wednesday, I went to a reputable joint. I went to an Advent urgent care, got the 20-minute rapid test. And, yeah, that was when I tested positive. I was like, son of a gun. So here we are, you know. Since then, I'm battling it. Symptoms have been fairly mild for the most part, except for my sinuses are just destroyed. And still, it's been like a 10-day sinus infection. It just won't leave me alone. So it's really bugging me out.
Yeah, I guess there's different strains of this thing. I don't know what the deal was. I'm hesitant to say because there's such a war on, God forbid you say your opinion on certain things. You right. get called a conspiracy theorist. My theory on this virus is a conspiracy, but this is just my opinion on the whole thing. My theory is that this virus was not created in a lab, but it was released purposefully by the Chinese government. And I say that because we were in a trade war. The United States is in a trade war with China, and the U.S. seemed to be winning that war. The economy was great. Things were going really well. I think China just went, they didn't want to unleash something that was super deadly that you would just, you know, burst into flames if you got it, but it would do enough damage that it would just lock everything down, shut everything down, and the economy would suffer. And yes, a lot of people have died from this thing. Don't get me wrong, because people just, well, 200,000 people. Yeah, I know. But the death rate's pretty low. For if you're moderately healthy and you're not a really old person, you got a really good chance of beating this. Even if you're an old person, I think the survival rate is like 95% if you're 90 plus. So yes, it was bad. And it was very nefarious. If that is true, if my conspiracy theory did turn out to be true, but. It's so hard to say. Like, I'm afraid of saying anything that's going to be too wacky, and then you get labeled just this crazy guy.
Right.
You can't, you know, take this guy seriously at all. But I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this on air, and you're right. You know, you want to say exactly what you're thinking, but you don't want people to go make you an aluminum hat, you know, to wear around. So. You know, I think more people feel that way, and it's the same thing. I think a lot of people are just like, look, I don't want to say anything. I mean, they'll say it on Facebook, but they say everything there. But it's just, it doesn't make sense. You know, the timing of it, the way it's attacking people, the way it's affecting the entire world economy. You know, it just seems like also that China seems to be doing fine now, you know,
like
their economy's really doing well. And it seems like their people are doing well. And, you know, they were putting out false information on their cases and their death count. I mean, when we were at like 100,000 dead, they were at like 1,100 dead. And it's
right.
like, okay, you have way more people, you know, it was concentrated in your big cities that are crowded. Doesn't make any sense, but all of it just seems, like you said, nefarious. It just seems it was something created for multiple reasons. I mean, if it was just something that happened naturally, you know, then I'm wrong in feeling that way, but I don't know. And it's really strange how it affects everybody so differently too. You know, like it seems to attack the weak. It seems to attack minorities for some reason, have a tougher time with it. You know, it's just, there's all kinds of weird things about the virus that people can't figure out. And that's the thing too, 2020, when you hear like the best scientists in the world are clueless. They're like, yeah, I don't know why it does that. Like, what? You should know, like, you're really good at this. This is what you do. Like, you know why cancer does stuff, but you don't know why, you know, this virus is doing things to me. Like, they still don't know why we lose our taste or smell. Like, that's crazy. And some people don't. You know, my girlfriend has the virus. She caught it from me, and she has not lost her taste or smell. Like, it's weird, you know. And I talked to a buddy this morning, same thing. He lost his taste or smell for 8 weeks, but he was only sick for like 4 days. His wife never lost her taste or smell. She was deathly ill for 3 weeks. So it's just very strange how it does people. And yeah, like you said, some old people get it and they're fine. They have asymptomatic 90-year-olds. How does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, like, as far as being ill goes, this was not even in the ballpark of the, I mean, I've had flus that were so much worse. I mean, like,
right.
I'm just going to say that I was one of the lucky ones and you were, you know, how we handled right. it as good as we did, because people are dying from it. And, you know, I want to cement that I understand that people are dying from this thing, but everybody that I've talked to, I know this is anecdotal evidence again, but even the numbers, the vast majority, I mean, 99.999% of people are fine. You know, yes, some people may be hospitalized with this thing, but you got a really good chance of surviving this thing. And you wonder if these measures that were taken were worth it. Now, I think you could say that the measures helped those numbers be as good as they were. We were shut down. The country kind of stopped for, what was it? It was supposed to be 2 weeks, and it ended up, we're still kind of dealing with this. Although here in Florida, life is normal. It's totally back to normal. Yeah. I don't really even know. Like, you can go to the bar if you want to. I haven't been going out. And that's where I actually think I got it, was because I had a friend in town and I didn't want to go. I knew it was a bad idea, but I took the risk and went anyways. And I'm pretty sure that's probably where I got it. But you mm-hmm. don't know. I mean, I could have got it at the grocery store. You know, you can't tell. It's a little microscopic bug that you can't see, but right. it would make more sense, you know, with people. And it was freaking packed. The baseball game was on, you know, the Rays were playing in the World Series, and a lot of people out there. So chances are it's probably where I got it. Even though we were standing outside and stuff, you're still standing around people.
Right.
But it's like there's more to life than, like, you have to live. Like, living is important. What is life if you're not living it? If you're just like, I get people who are, you know, we got a guy that we work with who had an organ transplant. Like, I get why he is very right. concerned about this thing, because yes, he has a compromised immune system and something like that could get him, but he's doing what he has to do, and that sucks that he does have to live like that right now, where he's kind of you know, just locked in his home. But that's what he has to do. That's the sacrifices you have to do. But, you know, as somebody who's healthy and live by myself, and, you know, I just, like, there's more things to, so for example, for Thanksgiving, right, the CDC released their Thanksgiving recommendations, where you have to bring your own food, no potluck right. style, stay 6 feet away from people. It's just like, there's more to life than that.
Yeah.
And I would just rather not do it. And if we're not going to do it, then what is living? You know, like, we're not China. We're Americans. We value freedom and liberty. Most of us do anyway. There are some people that are just cheering for us to be locked in our homes right now.
Right.
And that's concerning to me, because we are so, there are two different cultures, and probably even way more than that, really, but two distinct ones that I can see in my day-to-day lives with our fellow Americans here, where, you know, most people just want safety. They don't value freedom or liberty or anything like that. And then there are the other sect of people that are like, well, you know, living is a risk and you might die if you live, you know, that's
right.
And we're so separate, and the binary is getting further and further apart. We're getting so separated where it's not only people are wrong about something, but they're wicked and they must be stopped by any means necessary.
Yeah. And people are being really, really just mind controlled when it comes to a lot of the media and stuff. And this is me sounding like a conspiracy theorist again, or sounding like a wacko, but I saw this yesterday because I like to check out all the news outlets to kind of see the angles that they're taking on different agenda. And it's comical to me. I watch it as a stand-up comedian. I watch this and I write material off of it. Like, I laugh at how the perspective is on all the different outlets. So I'm watching CNN yesterday, which is the best for writing comedy. And like, I watched it because I was like, I want to see where they're going now that the election's over. Like, where, you know, and I said before I turned it on, I was sitting next to my girl, and I said, my guess is they're on coronavirus again, because that's the other hot button for them that they were on before the protests started and everything else. It was coronavirus 24 hours. And I turned it on, and they were interviewing a dad of a 5-year-old that had passed away from COVID-19. And I mean, it's very sad. The man lost his daughter, but it was like they found something that would shock people into being scared. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, how many 5-year-olds are dying of COVID? Like, almost none. Like, mathematically, there's so many zeros after that decimal. It's almost none.
Right.
But they found one, and they put him on. And, you know, they're interviewing this dad. He's crying. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why aren't you interviewing the parents of kids that die of leukemia or car wrecks? Or pneumonia or something, you know, that people die of all the time. Like, they found something. And they were like, yeah, we're going to drive this one home. We're going to scare the hell out of people today. And I shook my head. I couldn't even laugh at that one. I was like, that is just gross, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they do that a lot. And that's, see, I get in arguments with my friends, you know, all the time. They think I'm a lunatic. And I understand why they think that. Because if you they do this thing where they appeal to the authority of the news. Why would the news lie, Will? It's the news. They're just here to talk. Why would journalists lie about this stuff? And I understand that point of view. I also understand that there's a clear agenda that a lot of it's kind of a long story, but where do journalists get trained? They get trained in universities. Who are universities accountable to? Nobody. They have huge endowments. This is where policy is made, is universities. This is where also where politicians end up too. Politicians go to university, they come out of school, and they get into social service, and they get into you know, running for public office and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, like, if you talk to your boomer friends, they'll say, like, that news is just the mouthpiece of the Democratic Party or something. And it's kind of true, but it's more so that these people get trained in the universities, and then they go out into the world, and they engineer society. And to say that, I think it sounds kind of crazy. Like, I get why people think that's crazy, but to me, it makes perfect sense. And these... we're stuck dealing with the repercussions of this engineered society. And if you want the information, it's there. I can go look at stuff. I say stuff to my friends all the time. I'm like, look, dude, here's video. No, no, no. They don't even want to touch it because they think I'm a nutcase because I don't just follow. Like, I remember one of the big eye-openers for me with them is, and how, like, not touchable they are with this stuff is they were talking about, remember Sean Spicer? I think that was his name. He was like Trump's first press secretary. He looked like a glass of milk with blonde hair. They were talking about his press. You know, what do you call those things? Where he gets with the press pool and they do their briefings.
The daily briefing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how crazy they are, and I go, they're not. I was like, you can go watch them on YouTube. They're there. You can just watch them. You don't have to get your news from somebody who was there through a third party. You can just watch what's transpiring live. And they went, oh, no, I would never do that. Why? Why wouldn't you do that? You can get the information straight away. You know, you don't have to, but they want it filtered through their, I guess, through their authority. Of who they're looking for to who they decide is the trustworthy source here. And it's hard to fight that. It's very frustrating. And I'll send stuff and they just go, no, they won't even bother looking at it. But then they harass me constantly about, you know, I feel like they think I'm a moron. And it's like, I'm more way into this stuff than you guys are. I'm very interested in this stuff. And I try to educate myself. Also, I understand that I could be wrong about this. Like, I don't think anybody even questions that potentially they might be the bad guys or wrong in this whole thing. They just kind of just roll with it.
Yeah, I mean, you're always down to have a discussion with somebody with an opposing view, and I think that's the intelligent approach, you know. And me too. Like, if somebody, you know, has a different opinion on anything, you know, I'm up for discussion. Like, okay, unless it's ridiculous. I mean, really ridiculous. But, you know, like somebody says, COVID is a hoax. I'll talk to them for a couple of minutes, you know, but I'm going into that conversation going, hey, this person's insane. Like, but yeah, some people, it's like if information was, a cuisine, like was a certain type of food. And I always like to use food as analogies because it makes sense to me. But like, if somebody was talking about chicken, you know, your friends only want one chef to prepare that food for them. They don't want to try a different chef's take on that chicken. They were like, nope. I like the way my chef cooks it. That's the way I like to eat it. And that's the only thing that tastes good to me. And you're like, you sure? Because I got this guy over here that really does some good Cajun stuff with chicken. You're like, no. No, he don't. No, he doesn't. Without even tasting it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, too, where it's like they've been – we get put into schools, public schools, the vast majority of us, and – you don't really think about it, but there is a curriculum that is given to children that is statewide or many times, I think, federally mandated training. They have us for 10 years and they can kind of, they get to control the narrative of how certain things are portrayed and what's out there. And, you know, you go out into the world and you realize that there is so much that I don't know. I can't keep up with all the things that right. I don't know. And you just get such a little tiny sliver of how the world really works. And it's also through the filter of this aspect of these priests, the cathedral that is in the universities that don't have any accountability to anybody. In fact, they're kingmakers. They, you know, Barack Obama went to Ivy League schools, all presidents. And aside from Trump, I think, all presidents have been part of Ivy League universities. So they get to control what the narrative is. Who watches the Watchmen?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it's that chain, too, of, you know, like normal people can't go to Ivy League schools, you know, like, you know, your ham and egg or your lower income folks or middle class. So it's usually just the elite that are going there anyway. So the elite control the narrative, the elite train the narrative, and then it just continues on.
And over. And then that's a great thing about social media is it's allowed people to get other information. They've also trying to lock it down, but it's like the more you lock stuff down, like the more visible it is if you want to find it. For example, when Hunter Biden laptop stuff came out, there was a lot of people right. who did not know about that, by the way. They did a poll after the election. I forget who did it. But there was a lot of people, and they tend to be the ones who watch CNN. You know, they just, like, there's people who just get comfortable. Like, a bunch of people just watch Fox, for example. A lot of people just have their network that they watch, and these networks didn't cover it. Fox covered it a little bit. The Joe Biden or son's laptop stuff, but there was a lot of people who went to the voting booth and had no idea that even existed. Twitter, you know, social media censored the New York Post Twitter account for 20-something days and said that you got to take down this story. We'll give you your account back. Tried to hold them hostage. Their reasoning for that was that it was hacked material. The New York Times ran Edward Snowden's hacked material and did a story on it, and Twitter didn't censor them. They make these rules up as they go along, and it's like it's so clear that it's beyond just a bias, that it's just an agenda that they're trying to engineer society. And it appears to have worked this time, because we're going to have a new president. It's looking like, I don't think the lawsuits are going to do anything that the current president is trying to do. So I don't know if that has anything if that story got out, would it have changed? You don't know. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20, but it definitely could have swayed some people if they just had this access to the information.
I put a joke out on Twitter the day after the election. I tweeted out, just found 5,000 votes on Facebook Marketplace. This is really getting crazy. And Twitter tagged my tweet. They let it go out, but they put a disclaimer on the tweet and said, this is not verified information or something. Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? It's a joke. It's an obvious joke.
Yeah. Yeah, they fact check jokes now. So they're factual but not truthful with this stuff, but they're so paranoid. Like, nobody wanted to be the reason. I mean, there is a clear reason that the laptop stuff wasn't put out. It's because they didn't want to be blamed for being the reason that Trump got reelected.
Right.
So that, you know, the Hillary's email scandal of 2016, they're convinced that that's what sunk her campaign. Not the fact that she didn't end up in Wisconsin campaigning for the last few days of that election where she should have gone. No, it was actually just a misinformation about her emails. So they didn't want to be the reason that Trump got reelected. He's obviously trying to win this election through the courts now, which I don't think is going to work, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
You know, it's crazy, too. It's like really, really staunch, like Trump supporters. They really believe everything that he says, even, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yes. I mean, maybe there was, I mean, obviously there was some tampering within media outlets. You know, there was a lot of things going on as far as controlling the kind of information that goes out, and that can sway you know, how elections turn out. But that was proven 4 years ago too. I mean, they said Russia was doing things with social media and everything else. But the claims of of actual fraud, of people hiding ballots and things like that, that's not probably going to be proven. But if you talk to like real big Trump supporters, they're 100% sure. They know. Like, for you can't convince them otherwise. Like, I had a conversation with a guy yesterday, a friend of mine, and you know, and he goes, "Well, when Trump, you know, gets all the information and they declare him the president," and I go, "Whoa, slow down, man." I go, "How are you so sure of that?" And he's like, "Oh, it's 100% going to happen." I said, "No, it's not 100%. As a matter of fact, it's probably a very low percentage that it's going to happen." And he was like, "No, you're wrong." I go, "Well, why am I wrong?" I said, "It doesn't look good for him." You know, I said, "I actually read a lot on this, you know, and I'm paying attention." He goes, yeah, no, it's all been rigged and they're going to prove it." And I go, "I just don't know how you know that. You just know it because you believe in what Trump is saying. Like, you would believe anything that he says." Mm-hmm. I said, "Doesn't that make you feel a little weird that you're that much of a supporter that you believe anything he says to you?" He's like, "Well, I just believe the truth." I go, "You're just telling yourself it's the truth, man." Like, and he got all mad at me. He goes, "Whatever, dude, snowflake." I go, "I'm not a snowflake." I said, "I'm not. Like, I don't, I thought I almost voted for Trump. Like, I don't know what you're talking about." So, yeah, whatever. You know, people are just crazy.
Yeah. And that's just the teams that go on that will believe. And it doesn't even matter. Like, I got mad at one of the Tampa Bay Times journalists because they acted like there was nothing going on in Michigan. Like, he said these baseless allegations. They're not baseless. I mean, like, there is validity there. They have video and people who are going on and putting in affidavits. If you go on record like that, you're under oath, as far as I know, and you could face jail time for lying about that stuff, I think, right? If you get an affidavit, aren't you under oath?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Or at least you could potentially be in the very near future. So it's like, it's not baseless, man. And they just throw that out there and it's like, you people are the ones who are supposed to be looking into this stuff. And you're just going like, "Nah, it's just BS. Well, how do you know that?" That's the thing that frustrates me. And then people go, like my buddy, he listens to my podcast. He probably listens to this one too. But he was just telling me that, "Oh, you saw this video, huh?" Yeah, I saw a video. Yes. And it's not the fact like the goalposts get moved. It's like, I didn't say that this is going to overturn the election. I didn't even say that Trump is right. I just said that there's something funky going on here, and it should at least be looked into and not just poo-pooed right. on its face because you don't like the guy that's saying it. It's pretty obvious, and I don't think this is anything new, by the way, either. I don't think the election, there's people that, it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes that really has the right. power in that scenario. And they could screw some things up. Now, is it on a grand scale where millions are getting... Probably not, but it could be enough to maybe do some damage in local counties, and those things tend to add up. And, you know, I don't know. I just don't know what's happening. So let's see if he could provide any proof. But it doesn't even matter if there is proof, because I think there is proof of this election stuff going on. With the, in the age of smartphones, you can videotape anything, and you can broadcast it to the world immediately. But it's not... what you know, it's what you can prove, right? That's the old sentiment, and it's right. so true now. And who gets to shape the perception of what's happening? It's corporate media gets to do that, and they are overwhelmingly lean one way. I'm so obsessed with this to the point where I went, you can look up in Florida voter registration records, right? And right. it's just freedom of information or whatever in the state of Florida. So I went and looked up all the complete staff of the Tampa Bay Times. You know how many of them were registered Republican?
I would say one, maybe.
I think there was three total or two. It came out to 6%. And I think 70-something percent were registered Democrat, and the rest were just, like, independent or no party affiliation or whatever. Now, is that right. proof that they're just making the news? But no, but it's going through there. It's impossible not to have your own bias come through in your work.
Right.
I know that I'm biased, and I have a perception that I put out there. That was another thing my friend said today. It bothered me. He goes, yeah, well, bias is... are shaped by nuggets of truth. No, I don't agree with that at all. It could be by your perception of the truth, but I don't even know what truth is anymore. I don't even know if right. you can really have 100% something that's actually truthful. You have somebody look at something and one person seeing a 6 and the other person is seeing a 9, but they're not wrong. It depends on what angle you're looking at it through. That's one of the things I found that has been most frustrating about this, where we have so much information that's available to us and we're not able to come to a consensus. Like, I can look at something, you can look at something, we could have two different takeaways from it. You go, how do you see that? But right. it's like, are you lying or are you just really seeing it that way? I don't know, because I'm seeing it completely different. And they probably think the same thing about me.
Yeah, I'm so cynical. I go into everything kind of hating everybody. And it comes down for me, it's like I'm looking at everything. I'm trying to figure out not the truth, but what makes the most sense and why somebody would want to not tell the truth about a certain topic. And then when it comes to election time, for me, it usually comes down to what's going to be the most palatable for me for 4 years. And that's sad that's how I feel, but that's exactly how I've been for the last couple of elections. It's almost like that little Asian lady that did the Netflix series where she fixes the clutter in your home, and she had that number one rule was, if it doesn't bring your heart joy, get rid of it. So I look at candidates like that. I'm like, all right, who's gonna make my life the least annoyed? Like, who's going to be the most palatable for me? It's like, okay, so it's sad that we can't find better options. We can't somehow get a couple of candidates that everybody is like, you know what, this is going to be a tough one. You know, like everybody's set, everybody's so divided when it comes to their views on everything because of whatever news channel they watch. It's just gross. And you're either with me or you're without me is the attitude of everybody. Nobody can go, yeah, you know what, I like that Democrat, you know what, I like that Republican. You know, but that's how people are. And I tried. That's why I love sitting in the middle. It's my favorite place because I can hate people equally and I can like people equally. Kind of nice.
Yeah, I always get a kick out of that, too. It's like, I don't vote anymore. I didn't vote in the 2020 presidential election. I'm not sure if democracy is a good thing anymore. at this point. And I gotta figure it out. I've been thinking about it a lot. And this is, you know, I had, my father was very disappointed with me that I didn't vote. And I understand his disappointment. I do. But this is something that I thought through for a long time, and I opted not to participate in the system. And I always get a kick out of, I don't want to sound like a dick, but novices, when they talk about things like, well, what we need is a third party in this country. And you go, no, you don't. Now, instead of getting 51% of the vote, now you have to just get 34% of the vote. It's still, mm-hmm. you know, democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. It's not like, and there's no incentive for watching the libertarians beg to let Joe Jorgensen debate in the 2020 election. Please let us work within your system. And they go, no, get out of here. It's not like they always say, is a two-party system broken? And you go, no, it's working just as it's supposed to work. You don't belong here. And I think that's an outcome of the, like, I guess when America started, they had a bunch of different political parties, and you could just like start one and get a following. Right. But somewhere along the way, I don't know exactly when it happened, it just became two. And that's the way it was. But the whole idea of being like, oh, we need a third option. It's like, well, you're going to have the third option is going to have to work within that system. And then, like I said, you're not going to need 51% of the vote. Now you need 34% in order to win. Now, at least now you have, you know, half of people are upset and miserable under the current regime that's in office. And then if you get a third or a fourth one, then, it, you know, 60% of the people, 70% of the people are going to be miserable because their person's not. So it's like, I don't think that's a good solution of just adding another party. I don't get that argument, but I hear it all the time.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, I don't remember an election where both sides were like, you know what, I'm really happy with the person that we put in through the primary. This is our person. Besides Trump, obviously, this year, there wasn't a better Republican option, I guess, you know. That, not that everybody agreed on, but like the Democratic, like there was a 20 different people in, you know, when the debate started, there were so many options, and for some reason it came down to Biden. And I really thought that he would be probably seventh or eighth of the choices that were out there. And I'm a little confused by it. And then everybody, he's the savior. Like, everybody's just like, this is it. He's going to change everything. And I think Kamala is actually getting way more press than he is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, it's really, really strange to me. Everything needs to be laid out like a feel good ABC after school special, instead of really looking at like, who can we get to be the best leader for this country? We need to get the best candidates possible. We have 350 million people here. Let's find the two best people. And we just come up with duds every single election. It's weird. I just don't get it. Like, how does the NFL find the best athletes, you know, for their teams, but we can't find two good leaders to go up against each other every 4 years? I mean, they should be able to do that once a month. It's weird.
There's no incentive for, they don't serve the people. They serve the system. And that's a different, and the system is, there's no stopping it. Like when Trump used to talk about draining the swamp, like it is, the system is the swamp. There is no draining it. I mean, it is. I don't know how else, like we just need a complete, we need a world war to break things up and see what rises from the ashes again. We're too far gone. And that's why I didn't want to participate, because I know there's a lot of people that believe in what Trump was. And sure, I would, some of the things I liked, some of the things they did. I liked the fact that he's, you know, took a lot of troops home. And I think he's going to take a lot of troops home, hopefully all of them, from Afghanistan before he leaves. I know he's making moves right now to do that. But it's so interesting watching press. You know, I saw a story on Axios that they're condemning him for that, for ending a war. They're saying, nope, this is going to create a power vacuum. This is a gift to Russia. And you just go, oh my God, we've been in this country for so many decades now. Can we go home Do we have to be the peacekeepers of the world? Well, they want us there. I don't care anymore. I'm tired of America being world's police. That's always been my issue since I've been 18. Is enough with the wars. I'm all for defense, but enough with just occupying these dirt hills because we don't want Russia or China to get in there. Let them have. They've drained trillions and trillions of dollars out of us in many, many years of our money, taxpayer money, that has been going everywhere else but where it needs to go here. Granted, I don't know everything. Maybe you could take office and be like, here's why you need to stay. And you go, oh, crap, I didn't know all this. Right. But I don't, I mean, at this point, as just a citizen, I would like to bring home, you know, these kids that are fighting in these wars that weren't even born on 9/11. They've grew up with their whole lives of America at war. And watching, you know, press who was supposed to be, was uber against it initially, and then they put out the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and then we got into Iraq. So you go, press is part of the system too. They all have a symbiotic relationship, and it's because a lot of people made a lot of money during these wars, and a lot of people died. A lot of people's children died. And like, enough. Like, that's always been my thing, is like, let's end wars. And just to watch press criticize the president for bringing troops home was dumbfounding me. And that's why I think you are the enemy of the people. Like, he's right about that. You're literally getting people killed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no winning there. And when it comes to having troops over there, it's a no win, because if we're protecting the world, that's one angle. But then you have other people saying, oh, well, America, there were warmongers. We're just over there bombing everybody, and we're just the big bullies of the world. And so what are we? Are we protecting people, or are we bullying people and just controlling power and everything else? It's a no-win situation. So why even bother with some of these countries? Just bring our guys home, you know, so they're not out there getting slaughtered. But I really believe it's all big money. That's how I feel about everything. And that's just, you know, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. And it's one of those things where it's like, is it a conspiracy? You know, not really. I believe everything happens for money. And I believe lives don't matter when it comes to money. I think when it comes to, you know, the people that control everything, it's money. And that's it. Money, money, money. Mm-hmm. Money and power. So every time there's big decisions made on our behalf, I assume it's got something to do with money. Every time.
Oh, for sure. You're right. Money and power and holding on to it. Well, this has not been the direction I thought we were going to go today, but it was nice talking to you about this stuff. I feel like this is always interests me, and I don't bother you with it the majority of the time. But since you're on my podcast, I figure I can harass you with this, and you can give me some perspective. So I think you did. I appreciate you coming on such short notice with me today. And if people don't know how to find you, even though I'm sure they do if they're listening to this, but if they don't know how to find you, where can people check your stuff out?
Thanks. And yeah, this was fun. I mean, we do more of a comical kind of entertainment show at night, and that's usually the angle we go. We do talk a little politics, but we usually use a lot of satire with it, which is good. to add a little levity to all the negativity. Mm-hmm. But if you want to follow me, all you HMB fans out there, on Twitter, it's at Johnny B Comedy. Instagram, Johnny B Tampa. And you can just go to my website. There's links to all of that, JohnnyBComedy.com, including the silly little podcast I do and things like that. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you, dude. Appreciate it. And with that, we will leave you for the week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please tell a friend about it. Share it. Retweet it. Put it on your Facebook page, home_made_man on Twitter, HMB Radio on Facebook. Share the post. Give me a call, 813-693-2124, an email at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. I still have stickers to give away. a bunch of goodies, little things. And if you're feeling generous, if you go to hmbradio.com, click on the donate page. There's ways you can contribute financially. You don't have to. I'm just saying it's an option. It's the holidays. If you're feeling generous, it's there. Don't have to, though. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. I hope you have a good week. Yeah. Be good to each other. Don't kill each other. I'm happy we're not killing ourselves yet over this election. But still young, I suppose. All right. I'm not going to jinx it. See ya. Bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.